Well, good morning. Please turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, the last chapter in the book of Ephesians. We'll be closing out the book over the next several weeks. And this chapter and this passage, really from verses 10 on, are dealing with this critical topic in our lives of spiritual warfare. And Paul here, he's ending the book of Ephesians with some final teaching. And so this is his final message to the church. And he gives very specific, imperative instructions. Do this, do this. And we're going to see those as we walk through the text together. But his final teaching to the church is to be strong in the Lord, to gain victory in the spiritual war of life. Now, the true believer that's been described in chapters 1 through 3, who lives the Spirit-controlled life of chapters 4 through 6, can be sure to be in a spiritual war, as is described here. We are in a spiritual war. And so Paul closes this letter with both warning about that war and specific instructions on how to win it. The Lord provides his saints, his holy ones, his believers, with sufficient armor to combat and thwart the adversary, who we will see clearly is the devil. And there are really three main points that we're going to explore in the coming weeks in this text. The first is that we are at war. Life is war. And we'll not fully know and understand the power of God and prayer until we know and feel this in our lives. The stakes of this war are infinitely higher than the stakes in Afghanistan, Iraq, the Middle East today, and there'll be no peace until Jesus comes. The second point is that we also must understand and grasp the sovereignty of God, that God is in control. Because it's only in understanding the sovereignty of God that we can know we will win the war. And only then will we have hope and strength to press on in the battles of life. You can't pray long without hope. And you can't have hope without the sovereignty of God. And third, finally, we must put on the whole armor of God to stand victoriously in Jesus against the schemes of the devil. So, one, we're at war and life is war. Two, God is sovereign. He is in control and we can have living hope in that. And three, there's armor to put on to win the battles of life. And so what I want us to do is read the text. It's verses 10 through 19, that whole paragraph, just to set the context, because the most important thing in scriptural interpretation is context, context, context. Those are the three most important words. And so I want us to see the bigger context, the bigger picture of what Paul's writing. And then we're going to work our way through the verses, and we're going to really focus in on verse 10, 11, and 12 this morning. But let's read chapter 6, verses 10 through 19, just to set the context. And so Paul writes these words. Says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert, with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that my words may be given, or that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak." And so we are at war, and we must be strong in the Lord to stand and fight. When Paul came to the end of his life, he said in 2 Timothy 4:7, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith." In 1 Timothy 6:12, he tells Timothy, "Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life to which you were called." Life is war, just to maintain faith and get to heaven. Anyone who says it's all downhill and easy once you believe in Jesus hasn't read Paul. Paul makes clear in 1 Thessalonians 3:5 that the number one target of Satan is your faith. He says, "For this reason, when I could bear it no longer, I sent to learn about your faith, for fear that somehow the tempter had tempted you and our labor would be in vain." Jesus said in Mark 13:13, "If we endure to the end, we will be saved." And Satan is fighting always to bring us to ruin by destroying our faith. It is war to maintain belief. And concerning his own life of warfare, Paul said earlier, "I don't run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I pommel my body and subdue it, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified." This is the language of a soldier talking about the rigors and disciplines required in mortal combat. And concerning his ministry, he said, "Though we live in the world, we are not carrying on a worldly war. For the weapons of our warfare are not worldly, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every proud obstacle to the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ." And these are quoted from 1 and 2 Corinthians, which we have just gone through those books. And so we see clearly here from Paul that ministry is war. Fighting for belief in my own heart is war. And fighting for the souls of men is war. And probably the most familiar passage on the warfare we live in daily life is Ephesians chapter 6, verses 12 and 13, which we just read. "We are not contending against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against the powers, against the world rulers of this present darkness, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand and stand." In other words, life is war, and the enemy is awesome. And you can't see him. Now, sadly, most people don't believe this in their heart. They say they believe it, but most people show by their priorities and their casual approach to life and spiritual things that they believe we're at peacetime and not in wartime. There are no bombs falling in their lives, no bullets whizzing over their heads, no mines to be avoided or roarings of planes and bombs on the horizon. It's all well in America, the Disneyland of the universe. Why pray? Why put on the whole armor of God? In wartime, the newspapers carry headlines about how the troops are doing. In wartime, families talk about the sons and daughters on the front lines and write to them and pray for them and with heart-wrenching concern pray for their safety. In wartime, we're on the alert. We're armed. We're vigilant. In wartime, we spend money so differently. There's austerity, not for its own sake, but because there are more strategic ways to spend the money than on padding our lives and living rooms with more comforts. The war touches everybody. We all cut back in wartime. The luxury liner becomes the troop carrier. Once where they slept three, they now sleep nine. Once where there was fine china at the place settings, now there are tin cups and plates. Everything changes in wartime. Every house has a candle in the window till the boys come home in wartime. And very few people think that we're now in a war greater than World War II, greater than any imaginable nuclear World War III, or that Satan is much worse an enemy than Russia or any Muslim terrorist, or that the conflict is not restricted to one global theater, but is in every town, in every city, in every family in the world, or that the casualties don't merely lose an arm or an eye or a healthy life, but lose everything, even their own soul, and enter a hell of everlasting torment. From the cradle to the grave, life is war. Your soul, your mind, your body, your family, your career are the fields of conflict. And until Satan is finally thrown into the lake of fire, our peace with God will have to be a vigilant peace. Because Satan will certainly give us no peace if we are at peace with God. Now, if we believe that life is war, things would be very different in our lives and in the church today. And so let's look at verse 10. Paul writes, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might." He says, be strong in the Lord. Notice where your strength comes from. Our strength to fight this war and win is from the Lord Jesus himself. Anyone who thinks they're strong enough to do this on their own, apart from the power of God, is sorely mistaken. They will surely fall. God's not looking for physically strong and self-sufficient people. He's calling for you to experience a strength that is not your own in the issues of spiritual warfare. Apart from Christ, Christians, we believers, we can accomplish nothing at all. John 15, 1 through 5, we see we're like branches severed from the vine. But on the other hand, in close fellowship with the Lord, we can do whatever we need to do, because Paul writes in Philippians 4, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The reason is that the might and strength of the Lord is infinite, and by his strength, God created the heavens and the earth. He caused the mountains to tremble, the rocks to melt, the Jordan River to be pushed back, the cedars of Lebanon to be broken in pieces, and the forest to be stripped bare. He caused Jesus to be raised from the dead, and his chosen ones to be made alive from their death and trespasses and sins by grace through faith. It's as if Paul were saying, when I urge you to find your source of power in the Lord and strength of his might, I'm not making an unreasonable request. For you yourselves know that this all-powerful omnipotence has been revealed by those marvelous deeds. So we're not dealing with theories and abstractions here, but with the power of God demonstrated specifically in human history. So you can be strong in the Lord. And when you ask him to strengthen you, he will certainly hear you, for he is able to do infinitely more than we can ever ask or imagine. Ephesians 3:20. So where do you gain your strength from in the battles of life? Are you looking to others to be your strength? Are you looking within your own heart like all the Disney movies tell you to do? Follow your heart. Believe in yourself. All that Hollywood nonsense. Entertaining, but don't listen to that. Don't you fall into that. The heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? Are you looking to your health or your finances or any of those worldly things for your strength? None of those sources will give you strength to win the spiritual battles of life. We must be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. That's the point of verse 10. Now look at verse 11. It says, "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil." And we're going to get into the details of the armor of God next week. This is just the introduction to it. So put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. And so God has us involved in this fight. Now, why does He choose to do this? You know, I asked the question. And I hope you ask questions of the text. I hope you really dig in and question it and go deep with the text. But God, why? Why do you use us in this battle? God is all-powerful. He's omnipotent. With one word, with one flick of His little finger, He could defeat Satan and all his demons. And all that could be done. And it will be done. You read the book of Revelation, you'll see clearly how it's going to be done. But right now, He has us involved in this. Why? Why does He choose us to wage this war against Satan and evil? All I can say is that in some way, it brings God greater glory and us greater joy. And I know that because the purpose of our lives is to glorify God by enjoying Him forever. And that's really all I know to say regarding that. But I do wonder, and I do see how it brings God greater glory, and I do see how it brings me personally greater joy, and I've seen the joy in your own hearts when you win the victories in these spiritual battles. And so verse 11, put on the whole armor of God. You get strength by putting on the armor of God. So He says, be strong in the Lord, and now he's telling us how to do that. You get strength by putting on the armor of God. The armor is what makes you strong to stand. And the word stand here is repeated many times, over and over again. Stand, stand, stand. Standing is all important in a fight. If you're not standing, you will lose. You know, my family and I study and train in Kung Fu. It's one of the things we do together. And we train to stay on our feet. And we train to take our opponent down. It's a takedown. You're training for that. Because when you go down, you will be defeated. So you must stand in the fight. And notice our opponent in this spiritual war. It is none other than Satan himself. That you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. This is Satan. The devil has schemes worldwide to take you down. That's what he wants to do. And there's no worldly thing that will free you from his schemes to torment you. Now, so here are some examples from this in Scripture, from the Scriptures, examples of this from the Scriptures. You can see it early on in the Bible where Satan mixes error with just enough truth to appear plausible. Did God actually say you shall not eat of any tree of the garden? Is that what he really said? Man, we see the devil do this all the time. Just a little bit of scripture and a little bit of lie, put them together, and masses of people are deceived and brought down. That's why we focus so much on teaching good doctrine here at Living Hope. So that when you go somewhere else, you hear someone preach, you can check that against God's word and sound doctrine and not be led astray. Those cult leaders, those churches that teach poor doctrine and lead people astray, they pull stuff right out of this Bible as their tool. And that's the way Satan works. Take a little bit of Bible, a little bit of lie, and lead masses of people astray to their doom. He often quotes what I just said and misquotes Scripture. You can see that in the temptation of Jesus. Satan tempted Jesus in the wilderness. What did he use to tempt Jesus? The Scriptures, massively taking them out of context and misquoting them. Jesus wasn't fooled by that. And neither should you be. He masquerades as an angel of light, 2 Corinthians 11:14. Satan doesn't walk around with a pitchfork and horns. It'd be too easy, too obvious. You'd be able to identify him immediately. No, he masquerades as an angel of light. He looks beautiful. And his temptations seem so good. And so you be on the alert. Don't be deceived. He causes his ministers, his demons, to do likewise, so that they fashion themselves as apostles of Christ even. 2 Corinthians 11, we read about that. He sends out false apostles to lead people astray. They imitate God to lead people astray. He also strengthens people in their belief that he doesn't even exist. Then he can really get you then. Oh, there's not even a devil. Boy, he's got you then. He's not even worried about you then because he's got you. He puts himself in the place of God. And above everything else, promises people that good can be obtained through evil and wrongdoing. And the armor of God is the only thing that can protect you against these schemes. So put on the full armor of God in order to stand and win the victory. Leave nothing out. You'll need every single weapon. And don't try to advance against the devil and his host with weapons from your own arsenal. Verse 12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. So the kingdom of Jesus does not advance with swords. This isn't a physical battle. So don't everybody leave here today and go get your guns and your swords and all that stuff and get it all ready to go. I mean, not for this battle. That's worthless stuff in this battle. No place for that stuff in this battle. This is a demonic, angelic, evil power that is to be fought with the weapons of God. That's how you fight this battle. And this is the main way to fight against the devil. You put on the whole armor of God. And we're not fighting against flesh and blood enemies. They don't have physical and mental weaknesses, but against evil rulers. So this is one way Satan works in the world today. He puts himself into and influences evil rulers. You know, you watch the news, you say, how could that leader be so evil? Because he's influenced by Satan. That's how he's demonized. He may even be possessed with demons or under the influence of demons. They work through evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world. These are world leaders in different religions like Hinduism, Islam, religions that move, that take people astray and lead them away from righteousness and godliness. That's another way Satan is chiefly working in the world today, through these world religions that seek to kill Christians. And we're reading about that a lot in the news these days, aren't we? With whatever's going on in Iraq. They are specifically targeting Christians for slaughter. All over the world, people are being martyred and tortured for the sake of Jesus Christ. And that's the way Satan works with his demons, to influence people to that evil. He says, authorities of the unseen world against mighty powers in this dark world and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. And that's not in heaven itself. He's talking about the heavenly places, just the air and the realm around us. You know, we don't see this. And I'm glad we don't see it, because we'd probably be scared to death if we saw it. But it's everywhere. And I prayed specifically that there wouldn't even be demons in this room right now. Because there is a battle going on all around us, every day. It's a great spiritual war going on against Satan and all his demons. And we, each one of us, we are fighting in it on the front lines. Whether you realize it or not, you are in it. If you don't see it, if you're not engaged, you're like the soldier laying on the ground in the trench. Not really good for a whole lot in the spiritual battle. Kind of spiritual dead weight that the other soldiers are kind of carrying around. So Paul says, stand up, put on the armor, fight the good fight, lay hold of faith. There's a war going on. Wake up, be vigilant, be on the alert. And that's my prayer for us at Living Hope. It's my prayer for my own family as we fight the spiritual battles. You know, it's hard to really feel this in your life until the bullets are whizzing over your head and the bombs are going off in your front yard. Until the new neighbor moves in next door who's a practicing witch and casting spells and pointing voodoo dolls at your house. Calling the police on you, saying Jesus has threatened, you want to kill her because Jesus told you to. I mean, that's the kind of stuff my family's been through in the last 2 years. I didn't feel this, but boy, I felt it in the last 2 years. Not a single day that goes by. We watch vigilantly for our physical safety, and we pray to God that his mighty angels would protect us spiritually and his Holy Spirit would fill our hearts and guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. When you see the witch's cauldron in the backyard and the smoke going up, you know there's a spiritual battle going on. And you don't take it lightly. And I know it's hard to feel this, church, until you've been in it, until you've been in that battle, but it's real. And it's right here in our own communities. Whether you see it or not, it's there. And so we must be vigilant to fight. And that's why towards the end we read, Paul says, be vigilant to pray. Pray. Pray for me, Paul said. And I beg of you today, pray for me and my family. Pray for the others in this church that are feeling it. And watch, be alert. Pray. Be on guard. That we would win the battle. And fight the good fight for the souls of men and women. And notice here in verse 12 that we wrestle in this battle. This isn't like sit at a desk, 1,000 miles away and press the missile button and wait for the sensor to tell you that impact was made. This is wrestling. This is hand-to-hand front lines combat. You see into their eyes. You smell their body odor. It is that close. You feel their touch on your body. That's how close it is. We are wrestling in this battle. And ultimately, we have victory. Ultimately, Satan's power over Christians is already broken, and the great war is won through Christ's crucifixion and resurrection, which forever conquered the power of sin and death. And you can have that victory today by trusting in Jesus Christ, by grace through faith. However, in life on earth, day to day, there are battles of temptation that go on regularly. We fight the spiritual fight every day. And the Lord's power, the strength of his Spirit, and the force of biblical truth are what we need. Those are the requirements for victory. And so this is just the introduction. This is just the setup. In the coming weeks, we'll get into more details about how we can specifically put on the armor of God and wield that armor successfully day by day in our lives and win the battle, win the victory, and spur each other on to love and good deeds and victory. And I hope this message is just to help us see and understand a little bit better the great spiritual conflict that we're engaged in as individuals, as children, as mothers and fathers and grandparents, as families, and as a church. And I hope today we will leave this place, we'll be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might, that we'll Put on the whole armor of God that we may be able to stand and withstand against the schemes of the devil. And so pray with me, please. Oh, Lord, help us. Help us, Lord Jesus. We desperately, desperately need you. Help us to stand and be strong in this spiritual battle against Satan and his armies. Lord, help us to put on your truth, your righteousness, the gospel, faith, and salvation, and your word. Fill us with your Spirit. Help us to pray constantly for our own strength and for the strength of each other, and that we would have boldness to proclaim the gospel for your great glory, Lord Jesus. Help us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.